each day at this time. We'll offer some reminders about awareness, what we can be aware of. On this first day, in particular, we'll offer kind of the basic guidelines for practicing in this form, in this style. And one of the things that we emphasize in particular is why we practice. You know, what is the purpose of practice? Having some sense of the direction we're headed helps us in the practice that we do. It's as if that, well, it is that orientation of our minds supports how we practice. And so the purpose of our practice really is to learn about our minds, to begin to understand how our minds contribute. As Alexa said last night, when we look at what's going on in there, the vast majority of why we suffer isn't because of objectively what's happening around us, but because of our relationship to it. And so we begin to recognize what is the contribution our own mind makes to our distress, our struggles, our confusion, our wanting things to be other than they are. What is our own mind's contribution? And so that's really the orientation, to begin to observe our minds so that we can understand the way our minds participate in why we suffer. As we explore our experience from that perspective, our system begins to understand the suffering itself and also begins to understand how to let go of that. And so what we are asked to do here really is to begin to observe our minds, to observe how the suffering is created. But we're not asked to figure out how to fix it. Our system understands that. Wisdom grows as we begin to observe our minds. We are creating the conditions here in this practice for wisdom to grow that will release us from the suffering. And so our job is the simple cultivation of this perspective, the cultivation of the stability of the awareness that can allow wisdom to grow. So it's this combination of the stability of awareness with a perspective of why are we paying attention, that creates this transformative power of our practice. And it is transformative. A simple way to think about that wisdom perspective, Alexis mentioned it last night, is that we explore in becoming aware of our experience. We explore what does it mean to notice what's happening. Can we begin to recognize what's happening in the present moment as something that's happening in the present moment? Now that sounds so simple, so nothing. It sounds like, well, I always know what's happening in the present moment is what's happening in the present moment, but we don't. As Alexis pointed to last night, when do you know that you're hearing my voice? When are you aware? Some of you may have consciously been mindful of that. Others of you probably were simply listening to my voice. There's a distinction between hearing the content, taking in the content, and then being aware that what's happening right now is that you're taking in content. So that distinction, knowing what's happening in the present moment as something happening in the present moment, that's what we're cultivating. When we're seeing, knowing that we're seeing. When we're hearing, knowing that we're hearing. When we're smelling, tasting, touching. Knowing that what's arising in the mind, knowing a thought as a thought, knowing an emotion or a mood as an emotion or a mood. That's the perspective that we're cultivating. And as we cultivate the stability of awareness with that perspective and have an interest in understanding suffering, have an interest in understanding why do our minds get caught by struggle and suffering, the practice simply does its work on us. And so there is some degree of surrender in this practice. We cultivate conditions. We have very little control over results. And yet, with this simple perspective shift, the results will be transformative in their own time. And so this practice that we're offering is primarily about cultivating conditions for stabilizing awareness so that we can watch our minds, watch how we observe things, watch what comes up. The practice will be primarily a receptive awareness rather than directing the attention. Again, Alexis mentioned this last night, that the emphasis of the practice that we're going to be doing is not so much about choosing where to put the attention. Like often we stabilize the attention by paying attention to the breath or something, some primary experience. In this practice, we don't necessarily use a primary experience, although sometimes it can be supportive for us, and we'll talk about when that might be. But primarily, rather than directing the attention, we explore what's already happening. What's obvious in this moment? And so this morning I'd like to talk about some key points that will support this stability of mind. For some of you, for many of you, actually, this is reminders, just reminders. Those of you who've practiced in this style many times, this is just reminders. And so just remembering the practice. One of the key points to exploring this kind of receptive awareness is relaxation. We relax the body, relax physical tension in the body. And as the body relaxes, it supports our mind to relax. And as the mind relaxes, you know, when the mind has tension in it, when the mind is caught by mental tension, it tends to be pulled into thoughts of past or future, or even thoughts of the present moment. And so as the mental tension relaxes, we can land in the present moment with very little effort. And so this initial exploration of relaxing the body supports relaxing the mind. And then as we relax the mind, we explore the possibility of opening to a very natural awareness that's already here. And so we can begin by consciously relaxing the body to some extent, noticing where there's tension in the body and consciously releasing that tension. Sometimes a few deeper breaths can support that relaxation. A little extra oxygen can help our system to relax. And then another approach I find useful at times is if you've consciously relaxed the body, you know, often I will start with a conscious relaxation of body, just checking in, oh, there's tension there, okay, let me see if I can soften that. But after the conscious relaxation of body, sometimes I will just, it's like dropping a request into the system. Drop the request of, may the body relax. It's almost like asking your system, body, mind, are you willing to relax a little bit? Can you show me how to relax a little bit? Because sometimes some part of our minds, when offered that request, some part of our minds understands a way to relax that we don't have conscious access to. And so sometimes we can just drop that, like we're dropping a pebble into a pool and seeing what the ripples are. Drop that request into your system. May the body relax. See what happens. May the body relax. This is a form of mindfulness. We are aware. We let ourselves be aware of the impact of that request. And we can request the same of the mind. May the mind relax. Without even really necessarily even knowing what that means. Drop that request in. May the mind relax. See what happens. So this relaxation supports a natural awareness. In the Buddha's instructions for cultivating our minds, he encouraged wise view, wise understanding, which we've talked about a little bit, the orientation of why we practice. He talked about the ethical grounding of our practice, wise speech, wise action, wise livelihood, which we are practicing here through the precepts and being on retreat. And then wise effort, wise mindfulness, wise concentration. And that's a little piece I'd like to explore right now. How do we practice wise effort, wise mindfulness, and wise concentration with this form of practice? I'd say each form of practice has its own flavor of how these three work together. But they're all forms of practice have some relationship to these factors of the Eightfold Path. And so what we're exploring here is one version of how to explore these factors of the Eightfold Path. It's not a judgment on any other form. It's just, this is what we'll be exploring this week. And so I'm going to start by speaking of wise mindfulness. In this practice, as I said a few minutes ago, we're primarily exploring a receptive attention, but also exploring what does it mean to be aware. Do we know that we are aware? Right now, noticing, are you aware? Do you know that you're aware? It's a very simple shift. And often we can know that we're aware, but not exactly know how we know we're aware. And that's okay. You don't have to, it can seem kind of mysterious at times, and it's okay for it to be mysterious. If you know that you're aware, that's enough. You don't have to figure out, well, how do I know I'm aware? Just, are you aware? This is also some mindfulness, that we know that we are aware. As we know that we are aware, that always comes paired with something that we know we're aware of. We often use the word object for that. There's the knowing and the awareness and something that we're aware of. And so as we know that we're aware, what is most obvious that you are aware of right now in this moment? It might be the sound of my voice, or it might be some body sensation, or maybe a state of mind, a sleepiness perhaps. So what are you aware, and what's obvious right now? These are two sides of what awareness, of what mindfulness can know. Are you aware? What's obvious? In this exploration of what's obvious, we explore the possibility of not choosing what's obvious, but being pointed out to what's obvious. It's like we settle back and let what's obvious come to us. This is a distinction of how we use attention in this practice. A factor of mind. Attention is a factor of mind that picks up on an object, that kind of orients us to an experience. And this factor of attention, you're all familiar with it, maybe not consciously, but if I say, for instance, direct your attention to the experience of your right hand. We can do that. You can put your attention in your right hand and notice the sensations there. You can perhaps notice a breath. So you can direct your attention. So there is that possibility of directing the attention. So this factor of attention is amenable to conscious control. We can choose and pay attention to your foot. Pay attention to seeing right now. So that's a directing of the attention. Some meditation practices really cultivate that directing of the attention. For instance, choosing, we're going to direct the attention to the breath. That's going to be our practice. This practice, instead of directing the attention, we settle back and see, what is attention already noticing? And so attention will be noticing something. Whether we choose to direct the attention consciously or not. And so sometimes I like to think about this factor of attention as being it's either amenable to conscious control, conscious choice, but if we're not consciously choosing where to put the attention, processes of mind conditions will choose where to put the attention. That's almost like the way the breath functions. We can either choose to consciously breathe in and breathe out, so we can control that, or we can let go and let the breath breathe itself. So it's kind of that experience of letting go and noticing, where does the attention go? And so that's the question, what's obvious? We don't have to look for what's obvious. And sometimes when we begin this practice, and I certainly found this when I first started playing with a receptive awareness practice, that it was challenging to not look for something. Or if I didn't consciously pick something, it's like, well, I know I'm aware, but I don't really know what I'm aware of. It just feels like this vague thing. That's okay too. At some point in this practice, over time, it begins to clarify what we are aware of in the moment. And so if in the moment you simply know that you're aware, but it's not clear what you're aware of, that's okay. Just know that you're aware, and maybe be aware, recognize, not sure what awareness is aware, what attention is aware of in this moment. Sometimes what we're aware of is very specific, like we're landing on some specific experience, like that experience of pressure on the knee, or that experience of the foot on the floor, or that breath. So sometimes what we're aware of is very specific. Other times, and this is where I find that this practice begins to open our minds up, sometimes what we're aware of, what attention is already aware of, is much more vague and diffuse. Attention can be aware of a feeling of vague distress or cloudy mind. Very imprecise experiences. And it's often, I think, in that terrain of vague or imprecise experiences that we are not so clear about what we're aware of. And those kind of experiences begin to, I'm going to use the word, they become more clear in their vagueness. It's not that they become sharp or have edges around them, but we begin to understand this is what the mind is knowing. There's an analogy that I've recently kind of stumbled into that I like around this kind of vague experience that we can have with mindfulness. If you walk out into humid weather, your system understands humidity in a very broad way. It's not like you know that sensation on my skin means it's humid. It's a much broader experience. Or we can notice a drop of water on our skin. That's more precise. Our awareness has the capacity to know both very precise, specific experience and very broad, vague experience. This is useful to know, because often the area of the vague experience is where our mind gets lost. And if we can begin to clearly recognize, low energy is what's happening right now. Or sleepiness is what's happening right now. Fogginess of mind is what's happening right now. Then we can land in the knowing of that, the awareness of that. And so, in terms of the mindfulness, are you aware? What are you aware of? What's obvious? And rather than controlling the attention, see if you can explore following the attention. Where does the attention go? And likely, for some of you, for many of you, there's a habit of directing the attention, and so sometimes we might notice that we are directing the attention. At that point, you can simply notice, directing the attention is what's happening. You may want to let go of any conscious doing of that, and then just see what's there. So that's a little about the factor of mindfulness in this practice. We explore receptive awareness, recognizing the awareness itself, recognizing, am I aware? And then what's obvious? Then there's how we pay attention, how we make the effort. And again, as Alexis mentioned, a light touch. Notice the sound of my voice. Notice the sensation of your hands, contact of your hips against the chair or cushion or bench. How hard is that? It's actually not very hard. Each moment I say each thing, often it's not so much that, it's almost like my pointing to something directs the attention for you. You don't have to work very hard to know that. What's more challenging, so in a moment, being mindful for a moment is not much effort at all. You've just seen, it's the lightest of touch to know that awareness. What's more challenging is to sustain it over time. And this is, I think, a lot of where we get caught and end up in the striving in our practice, is trying to make that awareness continuous. And so I think we sometimes have this sense of like picking up or thinking, okay, as Alexis says, we're trying to be mindful from the moment we wake up through to the moment we go to bed at night. And if we, in the moment we wake up, we try to pick up the whole day and say, I'm going to be mindful all day today. Oh, I better make sure I'm mindful all day today. Somehow, you know, trying to pick up the whole day in that first moment, there's going to be a contraction. And we can't be mindful for the whole day in the first moment. All we can be mindful of is this moment, and the next moment, and the next moment. The very first instruction Sayadaw Utejaniya gave to me was, the only work we need to give our minds is to remind ourselves to be aware. And so this gentle reminding, it's not a picking up and, be aware. It's like, am I aware now? How about now? And now? And now? So just a light touch, moment after moment after moment. Those of you who sat with me before know my scooter analogy around making effort. It's kind of those little, not the motorized scooters, but the little scooters kids ride. There's a little platform, the razor scooters, and there's a little platform with two wheels, and you stand on the platform, and you have to tap at the ground. You have to kick on the ground a little bit to get the momentum of the scooter going. And you could put your foot down and push really hard to try to go far, or you could just tap gently, tap, 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 and the momentum builds. And then you begin to get familiar with what it feels like for that momentum to be going, and you can just ride for a while. When you start to notice the scooter get a little wobbly, you put your foot down and tap again. It's kind of similar to that we explore in our mindfulness practice. Just enough effort to connect with this moment. And the next moment, so the lightest of touches, am I aware of what? What's obvious? Am I aware? Am I aware? As we begin to get familiar with the quality or the experience of being aware, that's like getting familiar with what it's like for the scooter to have some momentum. And we begin to get familiar with what it feels like to be aware, we begin to notice when that awareness gets a little wobbly, when we start kind of drifting into thought or into non-awareness, basically, when the mind kind of begins to lose touch with that clarity of knowing that it's aware. And then it's useful to, am I aware? And so at the beginning, we often need to remind ourselves frequently, am I aware of what? You're welcome to use those questions in your mind as a way to orient you to being here. Over time, we can begin to shorten the question, even just like, aware of what? Or here, something simple to help with that just gentle connecting with experience. Am I aware of what? And as we gain momentum, we get familiar with the feeling of being more continuously aware, and we don't have to remind ourselves as much. And so the effort we make is not so much picking up a lot of effort in a moment, but the effort is more about how frequently do we remind ourselves to be aware. Sayadaw says, that's the work we give our mind, reminding ourselves to be aware. So this combination of mindfulness and effort begins to create the conditions for continuity of the awareness. A continuity of awareness that is aware of whatever experiences are coming through. So it's aware of many experiences. We don't have to have our attention steady on an experience for the awareness to become stable. As the awareness stabilizes, that's concentration. Concentration in this practice is not about being with one object. There's a form of concentration that's described in the texts, and I think it's also in the suttas, this moment-to-moment concentration. It's a concentration, that's a stability of awareness rather than a stability of an experience. This is the kind of concentration we're going for in this practice. An awareness that can be present no matter what arises, no matter what arises in our environment, externally, no matter what arises inside, internally. That's what we're practicing, the capacity to stay stable and aware, no matter what is happening, knowing what's happening. And that combination of stable awareness with this perspective that we're encouraging, be curious about your experience as experience in the present moment. And in particular, be curious about how does the mind get involved in suffering? That perspective combined with that stability of awareness is where the power of the practice comes from. We don't have to do much. An orientation of mind and a gentle touch of effort, and the practice unfolds from there. It's a lot about letting go. We have a big orientation often in our lives to being the one who does something. And it's a stepping back from doing in this practice. There's a lot of letting go of being the one in control of being in charge of what happens. And so we explore that possibility. And of course, the mind will wander. It will get lost in thought. The main relationship that we explore is the moment that the mindfulness returns, when it will happen. You know, the mind wanders. That's conditions of the mind. In the moment when mindfulness returns, we have an opportunity to recognize that awareness has returned. That moment is a great moment. It really begins to highlight for us what awareness actually feels like. That moment when mindfulness returns, oh, aware again. In that moment, it can be useful to relax, reconnect with relaxation if there has been some tension that's crept into the system. But primarily recognize awareness is back, aware again. And what's obvious? There's no need to judge yourself or get back to anything. There's nothing to get back to. You're already back when mindfulness returns. And so just notice that. Ah, this is awareness, right? Awareness is back. And what is awareness aware of? If there is a pull to thinking in that moment, it can be useful for yourself. Just explore this for yourself. Sometimes it can be useful if there's a strong pull to think about something and get lost in thought again. Sometimes it can be helpful to just reconnect with some obvious experience in your something really tangible, right? Butt on the chair. Let me connect with that. Or a breath, you know, something that's really obvious. Direct the attention for a few moments and then return to, am I aware of what? So the other piece that I'll just bring in briefly, and we'll talk more about this over the next day or so is we've explored now a little bit about being mindful, being aware, what we're aware of. Another piece of this practice is to also begin to recognize how we are aware, the attitude of mind about what's happening. Often, how we are with experience, what our relationship is to experience, is something that is kind of behind the scenes. It's like below the subconscious. It's below the level of our conscious awareness. And so this is a way of beginning to check in for things that are often not readily seen. And so periodically from time to time, as we do this basic practice, am I aware of what? We also may check in, and what's my relationship to experience? How am I with experience? Sometimes I also suggest the question, something like, what else is happening here? So this, how am I with experience, begins to expose an attitude of mind. Saira Utejaniya talks about what's the attitude? What's our attitude in relationship to experience? The attitude with respect to experience, when it's often our attitude, how we are with experience, is very influenced by our conditioning. And often when it's below the level of our conscious awareness, it often is connected to threads of greed, aversion, confusion, delusion. And so it's really useful to begin to expose that. And if we are paying attention, for instance, paying attention to, oh, there's a pain in my knee. Oh, there's an unpleasant sensation in my knee. That's what's obvious in the moment. If we are not noticing that we are paying attention to that in order to make it to go away, for instance, or we're not noticing an aversion to that, then the very activity of paying attention may be reinforcing that aversion. And so we need to kind of open up and begin to recognize, oh, right, there is something else happening here. And so we begin to open our attention to recognize the how we are with experience. Often as we open to the how we are with experience, we begin to uncover reactivity. We begin to uncover the mind that wants something. We begin to uncover the mind that wants something to go away. We begin to uncover the mind that's confused or spinning around what's happening. And so those are there's four basic flavors of attitude that we will have with any experience. Those are three of the really common flavors. Do we want something to happen? Do we want something to stop happening? Are we confused about what's happening? So checking into the attitude, checking into the relationship, we may begin to expose those. And that's the purpose of that exploration. It's not to then say, how do I get rid of that attitude? Because that's just another attitude of aversion. The exposing them to this mindfulness of, oh, what's happening now is there's a pain in my knee and I don't like it. That's what's happening right now. There's a pain in the knee and I want it to go away. That's what's happening right now. That creates the conditions then for wisdom to begin to arise around the dislike, around the not liking. And so mindfulness can become aware of these reactive emotions, of reactivity. In that shift to becoming aware of the reactivity, something different begins to happen. We begin to stumble into the fourth kind of attitude, which is basically, Saira Utejaniya calls it wise attitude. And it's a relationship to experience that it's a way of observing that allows you to be at ease with what's ever happening. And so it's possible to be at ease with the fact that there's a pain in the knee and not liking is happening. We've taken a step back, and there's an allowing attitude of mind. This is the fourth kind of attitude, what we could call balance of mind, an allowing attitude of mind. We get to this place of this allowing attitude by opening to reactive attitudes. We sometimes those reactive attitudes, you know, we might call it wrong attitude. You know, but the wrong attitude isn't the disliking itself. It's wrong attitude when we're not aware of it as disliking, when it's kind of happening subconsciously. And so we get to this wise attitude by becoming aware of these unwise attitudes. So as we explore this opening to what's my relationship to experience, you may become aware of some flavor of greed, aversion, delusion, or balance of mind. And in that, just notice what's obvious about that. This is not much to do there other than to allow that to be one of the things in the field of what we know. And so we cultivate this perspective of wise view. We cultivate the perspective of understanding what's happening in the present moment is what's happening in the present moment in order to see how our minds contribute to suffering. We cultivate mindfulness, recognize awareness itself, and we cultivate a continuity of that mindfulness. That's our work. That's what we explore. So I'll take just a few minutes to do a little bit of a practice with this. And so finding a posture that's comfortable. Relaxing the body. If there's tension, just noticing where there may be tension and seeing if there can be some relaxation. Maybe taking a deeper breath to support relaxation. Relaxing the mind. And trying perhaps those requests. May the body relax. May the body relax. May the mind relax. As the body and mind relax, we can orient it's like a quarter turn of the mind, just orient to recognizing, are you aware? Do you know that you're aware? And don't think about it, it's really just simple. If you can answer yes, you've got it. Are you aware? And what's obvious? relax and see if you can let what's obvious come to you. Maybe it's body sensations or sounds or moods, emotions. No need to direct the attention. And in this moment, are you aware? And what's obvious now? What's obvious may change moment to moment. That's okay. This isn't about controlling our minds. It's not about controlling what the attention lands on. Are you aware of what? Relax. Recognize awareness. Receive what's obvious. If there's a difficulty in connecting with what's obvious, pick something for a moment. And then see what the next thing that comes to you is. Following the attention. And from time to time, how am I? What's my relationship to experience? Just dropping that question in. If nothing comes to you, just continue. Am I aware of what? Do you know that you're aware? If you find that sleepiness is happening, you may be able to notice sleepiness itself. Sleepiness is happening. If sleepiness is too powerful, it's fine to open your eyes and just notice seeing as part of what's happening. Aware. What's obvious? If you wake up noticing the mind has been wandering, recognize the return of awareness in that moment. Aware again. Aware again. And what's obvious? So in a few moments, we'll shift into either a work meditation period for some of you, or a walking period for many of you. And so a few suggestions about the walking practice. It's the same instructions. It's one thing I love about this form of practice. There's no different instructions no matter what's happening. We orient to recognizing, am I aware? What's obvious? We can do that while we're chopping vegetables, while we're stirring a pot, while we're going to the bathroom, while we're walking, while we're sitting, while we're standing, while we're reaching. This is the Buddhist teaching on clear comprehension. Awareness while living. That's what we're practicing here. Awareness while living. And so in the formal walking periods, we connect with, again, it's very helpful to connect with relaxation at the beginning. And in the formal walking, for this particular practice, I like to suggest that you find a pace that feels comfortable. Mostly that will be, for many of you, a maybe slightly slower than average pace or normal pace for you. But beginning the walking, and I'd say, you know, you're welcome to do back and forth walking if you wish, but it's often helpful in this form of practice to do kind of a longer back and forth even. I mean, like when I was in Shui U Min at the center that Sayadaw has in Burma, there's about a quarter of a mile driveway down the middle of the Met Monastery. And I would just walk from end to end of that, so that I didn't have to think too much about where I was walking. But I was also not doing the really slow walking. We're exploring what does it mean to cultivate awareness in our everyday experience. And mindfulness doesn't equal slowness. So finding a pace that feels comfortable, you may start there. Find a pace that feels comfortable, and that can be the relaxation piece. Find a pace that the body feels relaxed and at ease with. And then, am I aware? Of what? Am I aware? Occasionally checking, what's my relationship to experience? Now, a main difference between walking and sitting here is not so much the practice itself, but the experiences that come up. And so what we're doing here is broadening the experiences with which mindfulness can connect. So we incorporate the movement of the body, we incorporate seeing, which are often areas that are not explored quite as much in the sitting practice. So seeing, hearing, moving, these are fields of attention in the walking practice. So from time to time, each of these may become more kind of the place where attention is drawn. And so recognizing that. A very useful practice in the walking, or a useful thing to recognize, I'll say. It's not so much a practice, but it's something that we can notice. When we're walking, I recommend that you walk with your eyes open so that you can see where you're going. And seeing will become a big part of what's known. So practicing with seeing, it often actually is a dominant field for us, and we're not aware that seeing is happening. And so noticing, recognizing when the attention is in the visual field, and this may be a lot of the time while you're walking, and that's okay. The practice here isn't so much about putting the eyes down and not looking at things, and yet knowing that you're seeing while you're seeing. So seeing is happening. Hearing is happening. An exploration around seeing and hearing in particular that can begin to highlight this factor of attention that I was talking about before is to recognize when seeing, we can walk and know that seeing is happening and have it be kind of a broad thing. You know, we're not looking at anything in particular, but just kind of taking in the visual field as we walk through, almost like a camera is going through a set. Just feels like the scenery is flowing around us. You know, that can happen in the seeing meditations, in seeing while walking. But notice when seeing shifts to looking. That's when attention picks up on something. And what are the conditions for that happening? Seeing will often shift to looking if some splotch of color jumps out at us, or there's movement in our visual field. Our minds are designed to orient towards anomalies like that. It's very natural for the attention to orient when we see movement. It's natural for the attention to orient when we see a glitter on the ground. So just notice that shift from seeing to looking. You don't have to stop the looking. Just notice that the looking is happening. And then the attention may shift to something else. And so this is beginning to really recognize the mind of attention, the mental factor of attention. And likewise with hearing, there can be kind of just taking in the ambient sound and then a bird, and boom, you hear that bird. So the difference between hearing and listening. So there's we're just taking in ambient sound as hearing, and suddenly we're listening to a bird. So noticing that distinction in the walking can be a really interesting exploration. But just basically noticing, am I aware of what? Am I aware of what? So this afternoon at the Dhamma offering time at 4:00, we'll have an opportunity for questions. And so at this point, we'd like you to just explore the practice. Explore these instructions, see what happens. This is a trial and error kind of thing, and so try it out, see what happens. Explore, remembering this very basic, very simple, relax, recognize awareness, receive experience, and explore this allowing attitude? Can I, recognizing the attitude and exploring allowing? Sometimes I offer this: relax, receive, allow, and learn. One question that came up was about acknowledging other yogis on some retreats. There's a kind of a really strong encouragement to not look around and just keep your eyes averted. And here, you know, some of you may practice that way. It's kind of up to you. We're exploring practicing while living. So we're exploring being aware. If you find yourself looking at somebody, I wouldn't encourage a lot of eye contact. Like, if you make eye contact and there's a smile, that's fine. But I wouldn't encourage, you know, long, because you're going to have conversations there. We're practicing noble silence. So, you know, no nonverbal conversations. But if you happen to make eye contact and there's a smile, that's fine. And some of you may prefer to stay more contained, and that's fine too. And so if you're in the mode of you know, looking at people, know that you're looking. Be aware of that. And it's kind of like, take care not to try to make somebody make eye contact with you, because others may be practicing other things. So we're trying to respect each other's space in this way. So, all right. So enjoy your day of practice, and we'll be back at 4 for the Dharma offering. And we have the structure of the schedule to take you through the day today. So sitting and walking on the schedule.